to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus flips between metaphors really quickly here, and he's using two. And let me elaborate on them real quick. That first one, when he says the thief only jumps over the fold, when he's talking about that sheepfold, he's talking about a certain kind of sheepfold. You see, if you're a shepherd and you're in town, you don't want to bring the sheep to your house, and you don't want to just let them out. So instead, you're going to bring them to this fold. It's almost like a public fold. So many shepherds have many sheep, and they'll all bring them to the same place, and they'll pay this gatekeeper to watch their sheep while they go sleep. And in the morning, they'll come back in, they'll call their sheep, and their sheep know their voices well enough, and they'll only follow them. And they call each one by name, bring them out, and bring them to pasture. And that's that first metaphor. He jumps to the second one, a seamless jump. We can read in verse 7 when he says, I am the door of the sheep. See, this isn't a reference to that one. He's not saying, oh yeah, I'm the shepherd, and I'm also the door that the shepherd goes through. He's not saying that. He's talking about a different kind of pen. You see, if you're a Jewish shepherd, you might be far from town, and you don't want to really pay the gatekeeper. So what you'll do is you bring your sheep, four or five of them, you normally don't have that many, and you bring them to a pen, an enclosure that you've made by hand, by yourself. It's really just a pile of rocks and other things you have compiled. And it doesn't really have a door. It's more of just a narrow gap between the walls. And it's a thin gap. So you go there and you call your sheep in one by one because they really can't fit more than one sheep through the gap. And once they're all in, they're all laying down, they're all resting, the shepherd would put himself in that gap and lay himself across it and sleep there. So he would fill that gap with his own body. And he would become the door of that sheep pen. So those are two metaphors that Jesus uses here, and he jumps between them seamlessly. Now, there's a common interpretation of this passage that I want to share, and I think it's important to warn you about it. The interpretation goes like this. That first sheepfold, the one that it's in the town, the one that sheep are being led out of, represents Judaism, being Jewish. And the shepherd, of course, is Jesus. So Jesus comes and he brings his people out of being Jewish, out of being Jewish at all, out of being the Hebrew culture, out of Judaism. And he takes them out and he brings them somewhere new where he's a door, right? That second pen. And that second pen represents Christianity. So this interpretation is that Jesus will come and take his people out of Judaism and bring them into Christianity. Now, along with this interpretation, I've also heard an interpretation of those thieves and robbers, but they represent the men of the Old Testament, men like Moses and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Ezekiel and Jeremiah. So those men wrote a good chunk of the Old Testament. So because those men are all thieves and robbers, because anyone before him was a thief and robber, their writings are not important anymore. I've heard this interpretation, and it has many problems. But simply, its biggest problem is there's no way Jesus could possibly mean that. It's clearly wrong. You see, the righteous men, and this is our first point, the righteous men and women, the kings and prophets and forefathers of the Old Testament, testified about Jesus. Jesus even said that Moses wrote about him. Men like David were told to be a man after God's own heart. Jesus is not discrediting them, and he's also not canceling Judaism. So he doesn't mean that. So what does he mean? How do we figure that out? I'm sure you've heard or read scripture that talks about shepherds before, probably in Psalms. But you've heard shepherds before, good and bad ones. And you probably can remember Psalm 23, which reads, "The Lord is my shepherd." In fact, this contrast between the good shepherd, the one true shepherd, and false shepherds, thieves and robbers, you've heard this contrast before. It's not a brand new contrast. In fact, we can find this contrast in a lot of the prophets. So don't believe this is a coincidence. No, no, no. Jesus is making connections here. Let's follow those connections. And we can find a lot of them in Ezekiel chapter 34. Let me set up this chapter real quick. Ezekiel is a prophet of God. And this prophecy he's giving throughout Ezekiel 34 is what we would call a messianic prophecy. And that's just a big word. And what it really means is that it's a prophecy about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus and what he would do before Jesus came. That's all that's happening here. And we can pick it up in Ezekiel 34, verse 2. The first thing we read is Son of Man. That's just a name he's giving Ezekiel when he's talking to him. So, verse 2. Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up who were broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains. On every hill, yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. You might notice something already. These false shepherds, who are so deplorable, they're eating the sheep, they are driving the sheep away, they're fleecing them, they are breaking them, destroying them. They sound a lot like those thieves and robbers, don't they, in John 10. You'll see a lot of connections like that coming up. If we keep reading in verse 7, Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. And I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds will feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. In verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks his flock on a day that he is among them, his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture. And their fold shall be on the high mountain of Israel. And they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down. Again, this is that shepherd metaphor for God that we see often. God, the great shepherd of the Old Testament. Keep that in mind. He talks about bringing them to Israel, bringing them to the high mountain of Israel. And this doesn't mean geographical Israel. This is metaphoric. What is the metaphor for? We know that we can see a metaphor between God and Jesus and the shepherd, and we can see a metaphor between the people and the sheep, and we can see a metaphor between these false shepherds and wicked kings and wicked teachers. But what is Israel a metaphor for, and how are they going to get there? And we can jump down and kind of find that out. So let's pop down all the way to verse 23 of Ezekiel. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This should be kind of weird at this point. You see, Ezekiel, while he's living, David has been dead for over 300 years. So David's dead. David's sons are dead. David's grandsons are also dead. It's been a long time. So when he says David will be their shepherd, what does he mean? He means the son of David, Jesus, the Messiah, who is in the line of David. So just as David was a shepherd king, so is Jesus a shepherd king leading the people. And we can start seeing where he's leading them to if we keep reading verse 24. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will cause wild beasts to cease from their land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. That was a lot of text. There was a ton of stuff there. So let's kind of break that down. Aside from being a beautiful picture, it's also very theologically thick. There's amazing truths that we can find here and apply to our text back in John 10. So what are those truths? Well, I got four of them, and they're on the screen. The first one is that the sheep are the believers in Israel. They include them. The second is that Israel has false shepherds, wicked kings and righteous leaders who are thieves and robbers who kill, destroy, and destroy the sheep. The third is that Jesus, the Son of David, will be the one shepherd over God's people, just the one. The fourth thing, the last thing I want to bring out of this text, is that Jesus, and only Jesus, will bring God's sheep, his people, out of the nations and into the kingdom, into salvation, into peace and rest. So four things: the sheep, the false shepherds, Jesus, and where they're going to. And we have this metaphoric language right there at the end that I also want to bring out. You notice that he talks about these high hills and Israel. And at the end, he even says, I will make them all around my hill, my holy hill. So this is, again, metaphoric language, and I know this is deep, so bear with me. When he says high hill, when he talks about the high hill, his hill, he talks about Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was a city built on top of a hill. And the thing we can see throughout Jerusalem and Israel, as he's talking about in this passage, is that it represents the kingdom of God. The kingdom that is and is yet coming. It represents salvation. We read that this kingdom is full of rest and comfort, and the sheep can sleep in the woods, which they should be dead in. They should be hunted in the woods, but they are safe there. And in this kingdom, in this place, they are showered with blessings. So to sum up, we see in Ezekiel that Jesus brings his people out of the countries, and he brings them to the mountain of Israel. He brings them into this land to come, into salvation, and he gives them rest, security, safety, peace, and blessings. That's what we see in Ezekiel 34. Now, if we take that with us, and we try and keep that in our minds, we can take it with us back into John chapter 10. And we can actually, with this background, watch John 10 kind of develop and unfold before us pretty quickly. So, back to John 10. Back to that first sheepfold. You know that one in the town? The one with many shepherd's sheep? The one that's kind of communal? The first sheepfold, the one in verses 1 through 5. Remember that it has many folds. It's very important. It's a mixed fold. When the shepherd comes, he does not bring all the sheep, he only brings his sheep. So, and that shepherd, notice that we can read in John 10 that does not say a shepherd. No, it says the shepherd comes. It's talking about the one true shepherd, the Son of David, Jesus. He comes, and he comes to this mixed fold, and he takes his sheep out of the mixed fold. So what is that mixed fold? What does that sheep fold represent for us? What is the metaphor? It's not Judaism. It's the nations. It's the world. It's the countries. How do we know? Because Ezekiel just told us. The prophecy was that God would have his sheep brought out of the countries and nations. We see the same thing here. That's a clear connection. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. We can see Ezekiel 34 written all over John 10. The sheepfold is the nations. And the Messiah, the great shepherd king, the son of David, Jesus, comes to the fold of the nations and brings out his own sheep. So there's the shepherd, Jesus, bringing out his people, the sheep. Who are the sheep? Well, we know they include the believers in Israel. We know at least that. And there's more to that, but we know it at least includes the believers in Israel. And we're starting to see this prophecy unfold. There's this solid connection that God prophesied that all of his people would be brought out of the nations. And Jesus comes and says, I have come to bring out my people from the nations, out of the sheepfold. And there's more to it, though. If we jump down to John chapter 10, verse 16, we can read, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Another fold? What does he mean? Who are they? They are Gentiles, non-Jews, those who are not Jewish people. That's you and me. So just as Ezekiel prophesied, God will have his people, his sheep, brought from the nations and countries. Not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And what about those thieves and robbers climbing over the walls, slaughtering the sheep? Those are the false shepherds we read about earlier in Ezekiel 34. Misleading, slaughtering, and destroying. In the day of Jesus, in the day of our Master, this included many of the Pharisees. Many wicked teachers were around his day. But verse 5 tells us something special. In verse 5 we read, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. His sheep won't follow anyone else but Jesus, because they are his. They belong to him. And he is the only true shepherd, just like the prophecy said. Now, Jesus is laying this awesome truth down, but the people around him don't understand. We read in verse 6, Jesus uses illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again. So he keeps talking to them. Verse 7, saying, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. This is the second metaphor. So remember the first sheepfold, the one that represents the nations, right? The one where Jesus is grabbing his people out, the people of God, and taking them out of. That's the first metaphor. Second metaphor. It's a different metaphor, but it's talking about the same thing. You see, Jesus, the one true shepherd, is also the only door, the one and only door. What does he mean by this? Well, he says, anyone who enters by him, who comes through him, literally through him, will be saved. This is literal. This is real. Those who go through him find salvation. Then he says they will go in and out and find pasture. When he says they will go in and out, that's a picture of freedom and safety, of security. What is he talking about? Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom that is and is yet to come. It's the same kingdom and the same salvation Ezekiel prophesied that the Son of David, Jesus, would bring his sheep to. Jesus comes to the people and he is saying here, I am. I have come. I am the door to the kingdom of God. Come through me and enter. Enter the kingdom full of rest and peace and safety and showers of blessing. Jesus is the door. He's the door to deliverance, to redemption, to salvation. Jesus is the door to the kingdom. That's a powerful statement that he makes. saying that I am the one who will bring my people out. I will take them out of the nations. I will secure them. I will give them rest. I will give them peace. I will give them blessings, and they will dwell on my mountain. A powerful connection to prophecy we see here in this I am the door statement. And it's so powerful. But later in the chapter, we find that it left the people confused and divided. You see, they knew the metaphors. They knew the sheepfold. They knew the other one that you do when you're outside that sheepfold. They knew both of those. But they didn't understand what he was saying. No. They took his statement, his powerful statement, and they divided themselves over it. They argued over that. It makes me wonder what we will do with it. You see, at the beginning of this sermon, I said that we had two goals: to search out the meaning and to internalize it, to do it. And what should we do with it? Let me talk about the application real quick. Just two things. The first should be obvious. Come through the door. If you have not yet come through Jesus, come through Jesus. There is no other way unto life. Remember, he says, I have come that they may what? Have life. Outside of the door, if you do not come through the door, you remain in death. You are under wrath. There is no safety. There is no security. There is no rest. There is no peace outside of Jesus. You must come through him. Before you lies death and life. Life and death. Come through Jesus and choose life. He's the only way. His fold has no other holes in it, no other gaps. There's no other religion, nothing you can do that can take you into his kingdom, that can save you. No one else. There's no way to get past him. You must get through Jesus. So I would beg you, come through Jesus. You must. Only he will lead his sheep out of the nations, out of the peoples. Regardless if you're Jewish or Gentile, you need Jesus. And second application is similar. Know that you are safe with him. What do I mean by that? I don't mean that you are physically safe. I don't mean that you won't get bruised or this world won't hurt you. I don't mean that you are secure financially or that everything on this world will go well with you. In fact, being a follower of Jesus almost guarantees that things will not go well for you all the time on this world. Because Jesus is interested in keeping you here in this world. No. He wants to bring you to a new one, one that he's bringing. You see, he's not about just giving you peace physically. He's about giving your soul peace. He's about giving you rest. He's about giving you the comfort and safety and understanding that this world might can kill you and hurt you and bruise you and destroy your body, but it cannot touch that you are in the fold of God. It cannot change the fact. Nothing can get past him. There is no beast, no person, no argument that can get past Jesus. He's a door in, and he's a door that keeps you safe. This gate will not break. It will not break. So let's have confidence in that he is the door and that there's nothing that can touch us. So as we go out in the world and we live out our Christian lives, as we preach the gospel, let's have confidence and hope that this world can't touch us. It can hurt the body, but it can't do anything about this land to come, the kingdom that I will be brought to, regardless of what you do to me physically. You can't touch me. Let's have that kind of confidence, that kind of hope. And let's praise him for that truth. Let's pray.